Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Larry Elder, the Republican hopeful in California's recall election, was recently visiting a homeless encampment, and it was cut short because somebody pelted him with eggs, I guess. And you know, while I don't agree with pelting people with eggs, I couldn't help but wonder, and this is maybe just how jaded I've gotten, if Larry Elder was there to see how much space was left. So if in the weird chance that he does become the next governor and they do start throwing people out of their homes because the eviction moratorium goes away, he'll know where they can put them out in the street somewhere. I know that it's horribly morbid, but it's kind of where my mind went. But I'm hoping recent polling, we don't have like Larry Elder. Can you imagine a California governor like Larry Elder? What's the crazy thoughts that come out of that guy's head? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, what's possible in California, because it hasn't gotten as much attention as I think as it should. I've asked Jenny Cohen to come talk with us. Jennifer is an election security advocate, writer, attorney. My person to go to whenever I find someone's hit me with a conspiracy of everything's fixed, it's all fraud, it's all bad. She's my expert that I go to. Jennifer, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, I'm glad you invited me on to talk about this. Thank you.
So this is a big deal. I mean, this Newsom could be the third governor recalled. This is kind of a big deal for the country, not just California, because if you get someone like a Larry Elder as governor, what kind of crazy senator would we end up with if something unfortunately happened to someone like Dianne Feinstein?
Well, exactly. I think he's even said that he would appoint someone. He didn't call them crazy, but that was my interpretation. I don't know the word that he used. I'm very worried because with this, with what's happening in Texas, with the assault on women's right to choose abortion, whether to have an abortion, and this sort of, crazy going on around the country, the thought kind of is, well, as long as for people like me who live in California, or probably New York, is similar, that if you live, as long as you stay in a blue state, everything's going to be fine. But the problem is, I don't know that we're safe anywhere because they're coming for everywhere. And they're coming for California, the people who want to turn our country into a theocracy, which is most of the GOP now, and unregulated also. And they're coming for California and they want to turn it into like a Florida or a Texas. And that is really scary, not just for an adult like myself, but you know, I've also got kids, and what kind of a place are they gonna be able to go to grow up and have it not be crazy town?
What kind of place are you leaving behind for your kids? Right. I mean, I have to give conservatives credit on a certain level, because they're willing to fight in a place like California where, you know, just several years ago, there was never a chance that they were going to win, you know, statewide elections or take, you know, many House seats. They fight in the places where they don't win, and they do move the ball. And you have to give them credit for having a lot of money and a lot of, you know, leadership vision to train people and to heavily invest in attacking Democratic strongholds.
I mean, yes and no. I think that a lot of them, the ones that have really moved the ball the furthest, are motivated by factors that I'm glad don't necessarily motivate my party. I mean, religious fanaticism is a huge motivator,
right?
And a lot of these people are religious fanatics. That is what they are. And there's been this sort of alliance between them and the people who want, they call it economic liberty, by which they mean no regulation, so that they can just make money at the expense of the greater social good, and even if it means polluting, you know, destroying the earth and all of that. So they've, those two things, extreme greed. I mean, absolutely there's greed among Democrats too, but it's just not on the same level. Objectively, right. I really don't think it is. And certainly their religious fanaticism isn't. And so, yeah, they've got a machine that we actually now need to get more motivated in response to this real threat, because I don't think Democrats realize that in addition to sort of the RNC machine, they've got these nonprofits, supposedly they're nonpartisan, like the Leadership Institute, which actually trains people to be, I don't know whether you would even call them grassroots activists at that point because they're getting training for it, but to train them to go into these, that's what they're doing. They're training people to go to these board meetings, and they trade them school board meetings, for example. But it started long before that. I think they've had this since the 60s. Maybe it's the 80s, but long time. And they train them on propaganda, you know, communication. They train them how to use social media. They train them how to create websites. And they probably, I don't know. It's really scary. There's
honestly and truthfully, what it is it's, and you go back and you read the 1971 Powell memo. Out of that came the Heritage Foundation, the American Legislative Exchange Council, all of these think tanks, this whole state policy network that sprung up out of that. And out of each of those has sprung up a bunch of these institutes, like you've pointed out, to train grassroots people to spew their kind of rhetoric. And they find them in colleges. They find them in the young Republicans clubs, and they fund them. They pay them. They give them jobs, and they do it well. And you have to give them credit for having. And look, they do all kinds
of
horrible
stuff.
Credit's
not really the right word, but they are effective. At what they're doing.
So what I'm saying is you have to give them credit on a certain level that they have used a game plan that has worked effectively over and over again. And I remember the little snotty guy, Ralph Reed. I remember seeing an interview with him back in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was asked, how did you guys come up with this organizing model? And he pulled out the SWOC handbook, the Steelworkers Organizing Committee handbook, which was basically just stealing old school labor organizing of, talking to people and doing the things that Democrats never do anymore. And for me, this has been one of my pet peeves forever. Democrats got to get back out in the streets, ball up their little digits, and actually fight the fights that Republicans are doing. You don't see anybody defending the school boards, do you?
No. But, the other thing I do want to say, though, they are effective at sort of information warfare. I don't know whether that's something to give them credit for. I'm not sure they do as well as it might appear. I mean, they're good at cheating, I guess, because gerrymandering is largely how they have managed to make progress. That's not really changing people's minds. But they're good at creating, for example, Turning Point USA, that's Charlie Kirk's organization. And by the way, all these leaders are in the Council for National Policy. I do believe that is kind of the top of the pyramid, even above ALEC. The leaders of ALEC are in the CNP. But in any event, they took down, I don't know if it was hundreds, but at least 100 fake Facebook accounts that were all traced back to Turning Point USA. So they do things like using bots, they pay teenagers to send out their messages. But that is kind of what Russia does. It's like a troll farm. And I'm not sure if that is really something to be celebrated. What they do is they create, I think, a plausibility for some election wins that are maybe, wouldn't otherwise be plausible. I mean, they do things like they come up, if you're someone like me, who is very concerned that the Democrats are not conducting their due diligence to make sure that there's not literal cheating with the voting machines, for example, they do things like if the polls are in their favor, then they're all about the polls. But if they're not, then suddenly they say they're rigged. And what they do is they create something that is basically creating rigged polls, but they call it unskewed polls or unrigged polls, and it creates a plausibility for their candidate. And so until we really conduct more due diligence and more supervision over this incredibly dangerous political party, the GOP, I'm not prepared to say that a lot of their wins are, I mean, some of them obviously are real, probably most of them and everything, but I'm not prepared to give them credit for winning elections. And I'm very concerned, by the way, about this, about the recall for sort of a few reasons. Number one, just assuming even the election is all in the up and up, I am concerned about it because, if you get Larry Elder in there, even legitimately, we're screwed as right. California. Number two, the software to the election management system used in 60% of the state was leaked by a MAGA clerk, a Trump supporting clerk in Colorado, because we use the same system in a lot of California. And that is the system that programs the voting machines and compiles the precinct totals for entire counties. So experts are saying, and by the way, I'm not really an election security expert. I study what the election security experts say. And what they say is that this gave bad actors the blueprint to know how to find a way in. And there's apparently always a way in. And so number one, I'm worried they'll cheat. And then Democrats, won't want to look at it carefully because that would undermine faith in elections, which is what Democrats always do to avoiding due diligence and just making it the GOP doesn't cheat, or they won't figure out how to do it. Or actually there's three things. Number one, they cheat to win. Number two, they cheat to create an outcry against Democrats. So they flip votes to make it look like Democrats are cheating. That might even be the easiest, because how many vote flipping ballot touchscreen voting machines would it take to start another insurrection in California? Not many, right? So they could do that fairly easily. Number three, they lose, but they just claim that it's rigged and they're already putting. So they have kind of a win, 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 no matter which way they turn right now. And that's the third narrative is the one they're kind of putting out there right now. So I noticed a few months ago at least a few months ago, that Mike Lindell, who's, you know, the guy that did the fake symposium for Stop the Steal, is a complete Trump guy. He and a scammer, MyPillow guy, he started saying that he thinks that that Trump really won California, which is absurd, and given the demographics.
Right.
And then Mike Flynn, who's an incredibly dangerous person, also in the CNP, by the way, Council for National Policy, he chimed in saying, yeah, I think maybe you're onto something there about California. And that to me was like, whoa, they're laying the groundwork. If they lose, they're going to just use that as, you know, to do whatever they'll just use that as a propaganda thing to either have another insurrection or to drive turnout for the next election, or just, you know, take all the wind out of the Democrat sails. And the California Secretary of State really, I think, she needs to step up her game on the official audit, because although California is much better than a lot of parts of the country in terms of election integrity and auditing, its audits still kind of suck because the bar is very, very low. And that is out there. It's sort of an objective. There are legitimate problems with California's official audits. The news that is out there, what I'm worried is so she needs to just improve it. The main thing she needs to do is expand the audit to include ballots that arrive after Election Day, because that'll be a lot of the mail ballots. Right. And those should be audited. It's been a hole that everyone's been talking about. Real experts, not, you know, Mike Lindell type of people. And she needs to just plan on doing that. And the experts are saying she should do that. So far she hasn't. So we don't really have a good defense, no matter which way this goes. If they cheat, we don't have a good audit. If they decide to claim that we cheated, we don't have a good audit to defend against that. And yes, we're just...
No, you're right. They've set it up to where they heads they win, tails they lose, they win as well. But yep. This is one of those moments where this isn't new. No one should be surprised by this, because Trump's has been setting this argument up since 2015. There's nothing new in this game plan. My problem is we just haven't figured out how to defend it right. Because you got Democrats running around saying 2020 was the most secure election ever in the history of elections. And maybe it was. Nobody's shown me any direct proof that someone flipped votes, but I'm still a little going, you know, who knows? I don't want
a down ballot. Well, down ballot, there were 27 House races that were supposed to be toss ups, and they all went Republican. Now, yes, it's possible. That's completely legitimate. But for God's sakes, we should be auditing all these races. And I don't know how many years election security experts have been saying this, that you need to have reliable paper trails, number one. And then number two, you need to actually use them. Just having paper, it might have a deterrent effect. All right, that is possible. But unless you really, these people study elections, they know which places look and which places don't. And we don't have a system where even when, as is often the case, there's this massive shift between the polling and the result. And it's almost always, by the way, almost always to the right, meaning it's a red shift. My friend Jonathan Simon coined that phrase. We don't have a system that lets us check when that happens. We only do manual recounts, if at all, as a matter of sort of an automatic thing, if the result is like 0.5% between the two. So which is pretty rare. And also if somebody were to be changing results, they could change more to avoid that automatic recount. And then it puts it all on a candidate to seek it, to go to court and fight it out. And it's really expensive and it's really protracted. And then the Republicans call them a sore loser, like they did with Al Gore. That was like the one time the Democrats did kind of fight back, and they made banners that said sore loserman. And so we need these automatic regular audits. And I don't know what it takes for the Democrats to wake up, but always need them.
So let me ask you this then, because, you know, I have my Trump supporting friends who always say, well, they're all rigged. Do you have any confidence in our electoral system at all?
I don't know how to, I don't think of it exactly that way. I don't know how to say that. I mean, I guess a little, sure. I don't believe in blind faith for elections, and that started largely when I found out that Comey and Jay Johnson and Jim Clapper, the Obama administration, basically spread falsehoods about election security on sort of a core issue. Their big thing was that we didn't have to worry about Russia because voting systems don't connect to the internet. And they had brought out this parade of witnesses who testified under oath, and they were wrong, and they've never, and that's pretty much been established. It's not disputed that they were wrong. It's not all voting systems, but ES&S ballot scanners, which they had started installing around 2015, they put wireless modems in them that connect to the internet. And those people never have, they've never even, they don't dispute they got it wrong. Nobody has asked them about it. Yeah. So we don't really know where they got their misinformation. And so I'm not going to believe what our official government party line is. And they're, in some ways, they're giving us no reason to believe them. The FBI official policy is not to tell the public of a breach. They leave it to the discretion of the private vendor, which you can imagine not every private vendor is going to want to come out and say if their system, you know, was breached. And they leave it to the discretion, sometimes, I guess, to the county or whatever that was breached. And maybe now they've expanded it to the state. They didn't even used to tell the state about breaches.
This is where I go back to the reality of, we got to go back to paper ballots. Hand-marked paper ballots.
And regular audits.
You got to have something that you can count. I want something that, you know, that the mark is on there. We can count it. You can count it again and again. Because clearly these machines, we've got so much technology. We've complicated things to the point to where, you know, on all sides, there are questions.
And the other thing I do want to say, though, is it's not just paper ballots. Now you have to say, really, either add the hand-marked prefix or say pen and paper instead, because now the vendors came out, especially ES&S, came out with touchscreen voting machines that mark your ballot for you. Right. And studies show nobody looks at it. And maybe just more obviously, they can really break down, and that can absolutely switch elections. Smartmatic, which is, by the way, only in Los Angeles County. So when Trump tried to say that they stole the election for him, that was a lie. However, there are touchscreen voting machines had one of the most epic breakdowns ever in 2019. I think it was in 2019. I think that's when their primary was, but maybe it was early 2020, but it was not pandemic related. They just, everything went down with their in-person voting. And that, imagine if that happened in the California recall, which is going to largely vote by mail. So it wouldn't probably happen to that extent. That's one of the reasons, separate and apart from the pandemic, that they moved to vote by mail, was because these touch screens that supposedly produce mark your paper ballot for you were such a freaking disaster.
No, I'm with you. I said hand marked paper ballot. That's what I want to see. I want us to return to some bit of that. Give me a piece of paper and a marker, and that's where we go. But Jennifer, yeah. I appreciate you taking some time for us. Lots of information, lots of stuff to digest there. But good stuff. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. As always, it's my pleasure to be on your show.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Any faith in our electoral system? You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.